We are WNST. AM 1570, Task Baltimore. We call it Baltimore Positive. I think I'm going to call it senioritis here before I get out. I'm trying to get my levels together. We're Costas in Timonium. This is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's presented by the Maryland Lottery. I've given a bunch of tickets out here, including the TARC over here, so I hope we get $20,000 winners here. Our friends at GBMC put us on the road, and this guy and his family, off camera, dads, granddads, and they continue to put you up to being on this show. Zach Dermer's here. He is you're a comfort guy amongst comfort guys.
That is right. And I'm the most introverted out of us all. But my old man is over there.
I've noticed this about your introversion, and I'm trying to get you out of this. But the hardest thing to do in the world is to make an introvert an extrovert or to make an extrovert an introvert.
True.
You know how do you make me an introvert? Duct tape. Right about here.
True. Okay. That's the only way.
And there are people among us who have tried to duct tape me.
Yeah.
Including recently. How are you? Happy summer to you, man.
Yeah, it's flying by. What's it, last couple of days of July here.
Look, you're in the HVAC business, and like the day, you're like a snow plower waiting for the blizzard, right?
100%.
Like 103 degree day, really sloppy, awful days. That's when you need the comfort, guys. You show up over here, dad, people, everybody's off today. Jay's running around. Well, we're going to get him on. And you're like, not busy today. And I'm like, yeah, but my wife went for a walk at 6:15 this morning and tweeted how beautiful it was.
It's
how lovely. Yeah, San Diego weather is not good for HVAC people.
No, it's not. But, hey, we'll take it. It's great golf weather, walking weather, anything but HVAC. But – you know, it's not even August yet. August is...
you're a little bit like the tax man. You know you're going to get...
Oh, it's just a matter
of time. It's going to break.
Yep, exactly. Just like 4th of July weekend a month ago. Well, it hadn't been that hot up to that point. Then it got just 100 degrees.
I'm just going to talk sports with you instead, then that's fine for me.
Yeah, it's a little...
Now, look, the trading deadline's Monday. If we talk about the trading deadline, anything that happens after that, you're on the hook for. But I will say that you were texting me yesterday... when the Orioles were A, getting their ass kicked, B, trying to climb back in it, and then it's a good thing you're not active on social media because you would embarrass yourself in that sort of an environment, but you're all oranged up. I didn't wear my orange today. I wore my purple today. And I still got grief from you. Old man stays off the set giving me grief about wearing my flowered purple shirt today. But, I mean, purple and orange, orange and purple, tis the season.
It is the season. Hey, best one of the year yesterday. Obviously, if it went the other way, it could have been the worst loss of the season. I mean, worst couple losses in a row anyways. With the 14-0 Tuesday night.
Which I didn't watch.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. Like, the kids go to bed at like 7:30. I'll usually fire up.
Geddy Lee, 14-0. Geddy Lee, 14-0.
6-7-0. Not going to watch. But then yesterday, day game, just unbelievable. And the fact that we somehow eked that one out. Yeah, if you can't make a run after that.
Did you see the defense in that game?
That was the best one. I mean, the Pete Alonso, the Odey Tavares in center field. I don't know what they need at the trade deadline.
I mean, look, you want to talk sports, but let me equate this. By the way, Zach Dermer here from Farnan and Dermer. I'm trying to get my levels together, and there's something about like me shouting or not shouting that makes things terrible here. Anyway. We're going to watch the game anyway, right? Like, we're going to believe. Now, I'll be watching the games next week, and they know this about me, right? I can't even begin to say, like, if they throw the towel in this weekend, and I was a guy, well, they should sell the... I'm pretty convinced after talking to Rosenthal and Kirchin and Buster that, like, next year, nothing's going to be normal about next year. So... if you're going to go for it, you got minor league assets, and you're the general manager, you're going to get fired anyway. Like, to me, they're going to do something this weekend to try to make the team better next week, I think. And Moneybags is probably that guy, too. He probably – it is one. He didn't buy this at 78 to, like, worry about next year.
No. And also, he didn't spend $155 million on Pete to just throw in the towel just because they're two games back. I mean, that's just because baseball, the American League, is so mediocre. But –
take advantage of it.
Yeah, they're close.
I hear some of your competitors are mediocre. You'll be happy with that.
Yeah, mediocre at best. But
I hope your HVAC, and this is very serious business, that you do HVAC better than they do defense.
You certainly do.
I mean, that's all I can say.
But that's, I mean, it's the small stuff, and it makes a huge difference. Obviously, the product in the field has been terrible. But it's the small stuff that we do that sets us apart from these big these are huge PE-backed companies. It just
now that I know that, like, I met your family and the kind of family you're from, you're kind of taught the fundamentals and the right way to do things. Why is it? I mean, I got a salad from the kitchen near Acostas. It's the same salad I've been getting. Very consistent. I got a crab cake. I got mine fried. You got yours broiled, bougie. Don't tell my GBMC sponsors I got it fried again. I keep admitting to my sins on the air, you know, on tape, worse. But the baseball thing to me, the extension and this part of it were like, are you going to be relevant in August when the football thing happens? This is my 28th anniversary this week, so I'm celebrating a little bit. 28 years, I'm trying to think of how many years in September the Orioles have made us pay attention to them.
It's not a lot.
Waiting for the Ravens. And the Ravens played September 13th this year.
Yeah,
it's like later than it's ever been,
yep.
Right? So I just want there to be that conversion of, like, baseball meets football.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I had Buster Olney on this week, he is sideways about how they spent 6 years not competing, not even trying. Knowing in...
Just throwing it away.
Knowing
because.
Last December there would be no September this year. When you get into this environment where you have a new owner, Angelos is dead, we have all these young players, stunk for a long time, there's a strike neck, like all these things happening, like if they're going to put their foot down and really try to make up 5 or 6 games so they can win 87 games so we can have playoff baseball here in October, I want them to do that.
Yeah. Might as well do it. Make it more interesting for the fans. Maybe they can fill the seats a little bit more. Maybe not.
F them draft picks is what I say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, live for today. I mean, play and win.
Smoke them while you got them.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
I put that in my AI and try to work that out.
Yeah, I mean, they're in it, so they might as well go for it. Yeah.
But you don't have any hope that they're going to win a World Series.
I mean, maybe a false optimism. I mean, Gunnar Henderson, if he gets hot, you never know. He's obviously been below par for all the season, pretty much. Jackson Holliday's playing well the past month.
Three different positions.
You know, if we get a catcher back, I mean, it's gonna be hard to
one or
Pozo
both.
Or, you know, Chadwick Tromp. I mean, they're you don't expect them to be good, but they need to be at least adequate.
They got to get a bullpen on next week.
Yeah, I mean that. You know, bullpen's been held together. I mean, yesterday the
need more.
You need more. There's never enough arms and.
Well, that's where everybody's going to get fleeced this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Andrew Miller last week up in Philadelphia running around. I'm thinking that's exactly the kind of fleecing that if you've got a difference maker in the bullpen right now, I'd feel a little better about the 7th, 8th inning. I mean, especially with Helsley being out, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like, Helsley's not coming.
Yep.
They need – if you believe they needed that in March,
yeah.
You have to believe that now,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
If you're going to win.
That's for sure. I mean, Tyler Wells has been a bright spot. Look really, really nice the past couple outings. Yesterday was good. Rico was,
I'm a Cano guy. I'm always
Cano's,
a Cano guy.
Yeah. But you just keep seeing some reports that he might be a trade option. I mean, why would we get rid of him? Well, that's an area that we need to...
Well, I mean, here's a question for next year. And this is really, like, I guess at the crux for them. Elias's philosophy has been to... I'm not just going to get a rental. I want to get somebody that's going to pitch for me next year. And I'm not going to give up a lot to get a Jack Flaherty to rent.
Sure.
We're going to see what scruples were for a rental because
yep.
He's not signing a deal. For me, the notion that they're going to tear something down to pick, like Rodgers as an example. I don't know how you replace him in the rotation to think like you're getting something back for him that would look like a center fielder as an example. Like I don't know the... There's 30 teams out there with contracts everywhere. You rarely see an is for an is. And Luke pointed out, Philly's made a trade the other, you know, like there have been major league players for major league players. So to say, well, would you deal Adley Rutschman right now for another team's player that would be in our lineup next year that wouldn't be a catcher because you'd say, well, we'll commit to Bisaio and we're not going to sign Rutschman anyway and this is where we are. Would you say that about Rodgers if you could get two bullpen arms that would be bullpen arms for next year and an outfielder and you put Taylor Ward in that deal. Like, getting creative with it. I'm making up a deal, but I don't know that it's going to be bullpen arm for some double-A guy I've never heard
sure.
of.
It might be something off the walls that we, you know, don't even think of.
I think getting good bullpen arms is going to be expensive this week.
Yeah, I
think that that's the thing that everybody's going to be looking for, and there aren't a whole lot of teams to fleece.
No. They're at Mason Miller. I mean, that's
somebody gives me a center fielder for Cano right now.
Yeah.
I might have to think about that. Because I'm thinking about like what I'm using every day. And then all of a sudden you make another deal to get a different arm
that you'll
have next year.
Sure.
Right?
Cano's got a couple.
Well, I mean, this is the level of creativity that Mike Elias sat on the air with me and brought his Yale-iness. He might be able to explain some of these things better to me. But in my own mind, I don't think this is easy. I'm not.
Of course not. There's 30 teams all trying to, get the best of
that. And there's contract, labor war, all of that.
Makes a big difference than what these teams are doing now. Potentially making every team more aggressive this year, where maybe they'd sit back and maybe we'll do it next year. So, if everybody's going for it in 2026, it just makes the pieces that we're going to have to give up to get something better, it's going to be more valuable.
Zach Dermer's here. It's Farnan Dermer. He is a comfort guy. We are comfortable here in the air-conditioned confines of Costas and Timoney. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Raven scratch-offs to give away. I've given away a few. Hopefully, I got some winners here. I got to give you one, too. This is number 32. Like O.J. Simpson. We'll leave Eric Rett. The manager. I mean, and the management. Elias and Albernaz.
Sure.
Is there a part of you that really believes they are going to survive this and that they will be a playoff team this year, next year, together? I'm talking about... To me, the Elias thing is so curious because he wasn't hired by these guys.
Sure.
He has survived 2.5 years, nothing. I mean, you can say a few things went right. Corbin Burns for 5 minutes. You make a deal here. The Leody Taveras signing.
The Trevor Rogers.
What? Yeah, fine. I'll hear all of that. But in totality, this is
a failure.
We use the same word, failure.
Oh, it has been. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, Craig Albernaz, I mean, his first year. Certainly hasn't been great. I mean, I don't know if to get rid of him after 1 year, maybe they give him another shot.
I'm not in love with it. I'm not in love with any part of it. I'm not in love with what I hear in the press conferences, his demeanor.
Yeah.
Doesn't help me sell the game at all. Doesn't look happy to be here. Doesn't feel like there's... I want to hear his best motivational speech. I don't know what that is. I hear the baseball philosophy or a guarded version of it because I feel like he's not comfortable presenting to the media. I wonder how comfortable he is presenting to players. I wonder what he and Bisaccia said to each other that got them sideways, which clearly happened. Just the paranoia of all the organization and the losing and the mistreatment of people, including me, and Jim Palmer, I'll say, and Kevin Brown, I'll say, and just on and on and on. I'm trying to find a level of confidence for them to take the microphone here, and it's what I said to the Whistler and Rubenstein and Arrighetti, if they give me an audience at all, I would say what Buster Olney said, which is they've lost trust, and even though we watch them and we love baseball, we don't believe in what's going on.
No, not at all. I mean, it's
and they've spent a lot of money.
Oh, they've spent a lot
for us not to believe in it.
Signing these guys, Bradish, Baz, Messiah, I mean, they're spending this money. They need to start winning.
But that's Sanderson, Holiday, Rutschman, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. Yeah, these guys, they're supposed to be superstars. They need to play like superstars. And I think Albernaz maybe, to put your mind in the mind of a head coach is maybe difficult. I think his expectations were maybe it's going to be easier. Maybe he thought, hey, this team is stacked. We're going to be great. Didn't anticipate all the injuries.
You watch the pretty girl from the other dugout and say, I want that player and that player and that player, and that player's hitting 220.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted Adley Rutschman, right? Like I even said the other day, I'm like, if they wanted Scooble 2 years ago, they could have had Scooble the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Think about what that would have meant for their pitching. All they would have had to do was send Holiday over there.
Or Garrett Crochet could have had
him. Right. I mean, so this is when you're talking about the trade deadline and assets and the valuation of that asset and time of service and arbitration and money and weighing all of that, and they all stick it in the computers because they're smart guys. They come out of it and say, well, Scooble 2 years ago would have been a higher risk, or Crochet, higher risk at that point to trade a Holiday, that kind of a piece off. But then Holiday has to bloom, man. Because Scooble's
Scooble is the real deal. And Holiday's 22 years old, so hopefully he will be. But you never know what you have until they're here. performing the way they're supposed
but
to.
But the Rutschman and Henderson thing,
those guys
didn't flash, I'm a superstar for 3 weeks or a month, or Kobe Mayo hitting a couple of home runs or whatever. Rutschman was a game changer for the franchise, and Henderson was better than him, quietly and younger, that made it look like the ceiling was to the moon, and now I can't get in the field of ground ball.
2 years later, and it's like, what happened to these players? Is that a talent? I mean, the talent was already developed. So what's the issue? Why are they underperforming? Was it just...
People wonder this about my radio show lately. You know, they're like, why is he underperforming?
Or was he just overperforming for a short, a season?
For 28 years. Yeah, exactly.
No, but these guys, Gunner...
But once you have it, I think, right? Once you learn how to play the piano... And I know baseball doesn't work that way, but I have rarely seen a 21-year-old prodigy look the way Gunnar Henderson did.
And just disappear.
And then, Well, Chris Davis, as we're putting him in the Hall of Fame here this week, that apparently had something to do with a medication.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, literally.
Couldn't see the ball or whatever.
And I don't understand that, although I've lost my focus at various points, and I've been inebriated, and I've been heartbroken, and, after my mom died, my dad, I know about all of that you can take to, and with Rutschman, I think part of it was physical, not being physically banged up and injured. But with Gunnar Henderson, this is a curious case.
Yeah, the demeanor of Gunnar does not look great. Yeah, the frustration has really come to the surface. And both out in the field when he botches the ball, he strikes out looking all the time. He just seems frozen. It's just, he needs to get that swagger back, whatever.
I want
to
get Tony Robb. Maybe if I spend a little time with Gunnar, I could fire him up.
Yeah.
Cal can fire him up. Who sees?
Yeah.
What do you think of Ripken's thing in all this? Because, I mean, you're an HVAC guy. You're a big fan of the team. You're watching the outside. You see him behind home plate. You hear his kid doing podcasts. His kid's got a better seat at the All-Star game than I do. I like Ryan. I kid him. He kids me. Trust me. He asked me if, when a foul ball came up in the auxiliary, if I was going to go after the ball. And I'm like, dude, my name's Aparicio. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, touche, Ryan Ripken. I wasn't born with the physical skills and the ability. And that same look that Cal Ripken has on his bubblegum card in 1982. But what do you make of Cal? Is it involvement? Because even Buster this week and some of the guests I had, Evan Drellick, like, he's going to be their wild card when it comes time to fire Elias, right? He's going to be the guy. Cal's going to bless the next fan, or they're going to pitch it that way. But the whole problem I see with both of these franchises right now is they're so into pitching Bourgeois to the world that there's no authenticity.
Yeah.
Did you see Harbaugh's act with the Giants last week?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I mean, it's pathetic.
Yeah, there's zero. It just.
And now Sashi Brown's out with a shovel with Julian Jones.
Yeah.
And Klaus Meyer, and I'm wondering, I pay taxes here, you live in the county, what's it costing me? Just don't bullshit me.
Yeah.
Just come out and tell me what I'm giving a billionaire.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
What am I giving a billionaire? To house millionaires who may or may not be sober, may or not be taking a massage therapist here and doing all sorts of untoward things that they never admit to. So I just think so much is given to these people and expected of them, but I think there's a level of trust that if you're going to say Cal Ripken's in front of this, then get Cal Ripken to sit here with me and be involved in front of it. Let's go. I'd love to hear that Cal Ripken's really involved and in front of it and has something to say and has something an hour with me on analytics and bring his kid with him, making the junior assistant to the general manager. Well, whatever they're going to do, just do it well and don't lie to me and don't make bobbleheads about your owner and don't ban legitimate media. And
Be decent people.
Face off. Let's go.
Seats will be filled in the stands.
But I wanted that for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So do you.
Yeah, of course.
You don't buy tickets. I don't buy tickets.
I sold them. I mean, it is a little bit of a hassle to go down there.
Don't give me that.
Well, the product isn't good. I mean, if we were better, if we were 10 games in the lead.
All right, dude.
Yeah, I would be going. I mean, but.
They deal Rutschman for Scooble on Sunday, and Scooble is starting next week.
Yeah, I'm going to be away at the beach next week, but.
You'll watch?
I'll definitely watch.
Well, all right.
Regardless,
I
am a fan.
What gets you to the game at this point? I mean, I keep asking this of people who have enough money to sponsor me, thank you very much. Zach Dermer here from Farm to Dermer. That offset. But, you, I mean, you have enough money to go. I have enough money tonight to afford a $12 ticket over the weekend. Or Phillies are in town. It's $40. I can get in there, yell, throw cheesesteaks at them and pretzels. I know why I don't do it. And part of it, and it really isn't me being a jerk, or part of it is the game is better on TV, and I've been saying that for about 4 months now, and I'm going to harp on that because that strike zone on TV, I've been to four baseball games. I went opening day. I went Arizona afternoon game, 100 degrees. I went the split doubleheader Astros.
You went to the second game.
And then I went to the All-Star game.
Yep.
I left the All-Star game in the second inning. Don't tell anybody. And I got on the subway, and I got back to my hotel room. I missed the third and fourth inning. I got back to my hotel room in the bottom of the fourth. I missed two innings. And the game was on TV. I had watched the game from my perch above Ryan Ripken, behind Ryan Ripken, in the auxiliary press box in the back of left field. And it's a boring game. Right. Now, the television version, and this is not my jam, they had everybody mic'd up. The hitters are mic'd up. The pitchers are mic'd up. The catchers are mic'd up. The umpires got the they've done all of these experiential, existential things that are made for television that when I got home, and I had a 4 a.m. train, but when I got back to my hotel room in Center City, Philly, I don't recommend it, after dark. They say that about Baltimore. So Philly's in town this weekend. F them. So I love Philly. You know I love you. I got back to my room, and I was compelled by the game on television far more than it was the first two innings. And I'm talking about a $500 ticket. Thank you, Major League Baseball. Happy to be there, all of that. But I watched two innings at the stadium, and I watched four innings at home.
Profit is good on TV.
And on TV, they're trying harder.
Yeah.
That's all. So that's one of the things that will really – even if Katie Griggs called me today and Mark Fine apologized and Don Rovac admitted that I know more people in Baltimore than he does and that Cal Ripken would say to them, dude, let Nestor in. We're being idiots here. Because Cal should say that. His son should say that. His ex-wife should say that. Everyone should say that. But nonetheless, Tarkin, the other side of the room, everybody should say that. So to me, if they called me and invited me back, there might be nights where I literally would go down and do the pregame. And at 6 o'clock when they're serving the hot dogs or trying to charge me $15 for the cold cut that day, I would get in the car and I would want to go home because I want to spend my evening with Ben McDonald or Jim Palmer.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they make it extremely entertaining, those guys.
Right.
So they really do.
So I'm making the case to keep you at home.
Yeah. I mean, I don't go. I'm partially because with the kids and my oldest, he'll be 6 in September. So if we go on a weeknight game,
it's not fun for you.
Well, I mean, he enjoys it, but we'll watch 3-4 innings at the playground. And then by like 9 o'clock, you know, past bedtime.
6-year-old.
He'll be 6 in September. I mean,
all right, so.
And then I've got a 2-year-old and a baby, so it's like.
All right, let's talk about the 6-year-old.
Yeah.
What does he know about baseball?
He knows a lot. And he's actually phenomenal with numbers. So, like, he understands counts and pitch counts.
I was that kid. So
yeah,
go ahead. Keep going.
He just likes numbers.
So he can name, if he were sitting here right now and I mic'd him, unlike his grandfather, the one who came on the show. If I mic him and I said, what's his name?
Trey.
All right, yep. Trey, who's your favorite Oriole? He would say
Gunner.
And I would say, but I'd say, who are some of your other favorite Orioles?
He
would just name the roster.
Like 4, 5, 6 players that he'd name.
All right.
We watched yesterday, the game, what was it, 1 o'clock game? So it ended, I guess, close to 4:45 with the 12 innings, something like that.
He watched it all?
Well, no. So I was at work at the office, 10 minutes from home. So 4:20, whatever.
7-7, right about then?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Well, that was actually when it was 9-7, and then Rico gave up the 2.
Oh, okay.
So I was on my way home listening to 98 Rock, just on the radio.
It felt bad. It felt good. It felt awful. Yeah, it felt worse.
I was like, oh, got to turn this on. It's 9-9. It's the 11th inning at this point. And we watched, and it was entertaining. He enjoyed it, and obviously the outcome was great.
What does he not understand? Because baseball's complicated. And the reason I say that, I always tell this story about my Swedish girlfriend.
Yeah.
I had a Swedish girlfriend in New York 30 years ago, turn of the century. Loved her, still love her. She's over in Sweden. She didn't know anything about baseball.
Yeah.
And I took her to a Yankee Red Sox game. Like, it was like a Clemens Pedro June night, pennant race 2000, 2000. I got married in three. So this is 2000, 2001. So the Red Sox didn't want anything,
yep.
right? They're at Yankee Stadium about to get their ass kicked for the 10,000th yep. time. Yep. And I've got this pretty Swedish. She looked like Britt Eklund, still does, which is not a bad way to look at Dave Preston, knows that. So I took her to Yankee Stadium, and she had never been to a Yankee game. She's in New York. She was an au pair, which is how all young Scandinavian women get here. So I took her to the game. She was so excited to be there. And now we're there, and she's beautiful, and I've got a crush on her. We're sitting there, and she's like, and her English was perfect, so I can't do the broken. Yeah. She didn't have a Swedish accent or anything. She just said, explain to me like how this works.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what's a strike?
A ball, an out. I mean, I could say to her like that the gray teams, the Boston team, and she knew of the Yankees grandeur.
Yeah.
She lived in New York, you know?
Yeah.
But I just always remember how confusing that was to try to teach someone,
like
even an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, who wanted to learn.
Sure.
She really wanted to learn. She giggled a lot because she was confused as hell.
Yeah.
Why do they, and the questions are, why do they run that way?
Yeah.
Why does the ball get hit on the ground and they have to throw it? Why does the ball, like I'm just literally, like I'm wondering if I meet your 6-year-old kid,
he'd
have favorite players, but I'm sure these are nightly questions for dad, right?
The concept of extra innings was kind of new, because usually if it's a weeknight game,
okay.
and he's the bomb asleep when the game's over.
See,
in the afternoon game, we're in the 12th inning.
See, I didn't grow up all bougie in Randallstown like you. I grew up in Dundalk. And
well, my dad grew up in Randallstown.
Where'd you grow up?
Right,
even more bougie.
Yeah, well.
So, did you have a duck pin bowling lane within walking distance of your house? Bougie. Well, okay.
So
the way I was taught innings was frames of bowling.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you got to learn somehow. It makes sense.
Truly a Dundalk education on how to learn baseball.
Yep.
Now, I will say this, with all love for my wife and respect for my wife, when I met her in 2003... It was the year that the Yankees got their ass kicked by the Red Sox.
Yeah.
We were at Yankee Stadium that night with Shonda Schilling and Curt Schilling when Johnny Damon hit the home run in Game 7 of the ALCS. We were like 12, right?
Yeah, I mean,
feels like 5 minutes ago to me, but it was 20 years ago. My wife, when I met her, she went to the same high school with Mike Flanagan. So obviously there was an incredible friendship between all of us. But my wife wanted to learn how to keep score when we met. Because she saw me in the I was still in the media then. I was in the press box, and I had my press notes, and I would bring the press notes out, and, you know, my wife, we're courting, we're in love, we're newlyweds, I'm a media guy, we're at the ballpark, I had press notes that had a scorecard, my wife is an engineer, so she's trying to figure stuff out all the time, and she saw me keeping score, and I said to her, I'll teach you how to keep score.
Yeah.
So I'm a year or two into my marriage. My Swedish girlfriend did not get this far. I don't think she, to this day, I don't think she knows the difference between a ball and a strike. But my wife loved the Red Sox, loved the Celtics, went to Bruins games. My wife's sporty, you know. Didn't know football as well. Like, football, I really had to educate her hardcore. And that was Monday Night Football. Every Monday night, I taught her football using stop, remote control, what a left tackle is, what a center is, what a guard is, what third down is, what passing. Like, I taught her football and I love that. I love doing that with her. But baseball, she came out of the box loving baseball, but had never kept score. And I'm not kidding you. This is true for those of you who love my wife and know that she's alive and well. And everybody asks, I went into Costas Dundalk the other day, a woman I've known all my life, came up, hi, Jen, how are you? Jen goes down, we order crabs. I went over to visit with her and have a beer. And the first thing she does is, how's your wife? How's your wife? And I'm like, look at her. She's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
but people
thriving.
Do that to
yeah,
me. So my wife, swear to God, this is before Free the Birds, because we used to love sitting in the outfield in Section 388, where I did Free the Birds. That was not a gimmick. That's I like sitting out there. You know why? Same reason I like TV. I could see the strike zone.
Yep.
I needed. I needed to go to center field, and I didn't like those bleacher seats. They're hot.
Yeah.
The left field upper deck. My dad had long passed away at that point. He'd been gone probably a dozen years. I love sitting in the bleachers because where I sat with my dad. I'll get emotional talking about it. You know, whatever. But I could see the strike zone.
Yep.
I'll never forget this. I left my wife to her own volition before a game. I'm still a media member. I think Lee Mazzilli was the manager, to give you some example of where we were. I went down the locker room, visited with Flanagan, Melvin Mora, Brian Roberts, whoever's on the team. And I made my wife meet me in the upper deck. And we lived downtown. She walked from work. Flanagan left her a ticket or whatever, probably behind her own plate. But I'm like, we don't want to sit there. We're going to sit 388. We're going to sit in the strike zone. And she met me up there. True story about my wife and her family. When I went up in the section, you have a white shoe on. She was wearing white shoes. She had her pen out. She was keeping score on her shoe.
It's dedication right there.
Waiting for me to get the press notes out in the second inning.
Pretty impressive. Does she still keep score?
Well, it's on the scoreboard now. You look on the scoreboard.
But you still see
it's on your phone, too.
Yeah, you still see people keeping score, though. It's always interesting. You see maybe one every 10 sections.
You gonna teach your kid to keep score? That's what I'm going to point
on. But
your kid's never going to touch a pencil or a pen.
Hopefully he does.
No, man, I don't even know how to. I would be so.
I mean, it's totally different.
God bless your dad and you, because if I were him instead of you, and you're like, what are the other kids' names here? Six, two, and zero. Go ahead.
Yeah, Trey is my oldest. Uh-huh. Five, and Jack is two.
Jack?
Three.
Two? Diapers or pee-peeing? What are we doing?
No diapers.
Very important if I'm babysitting this kid.
No diapers.
And how's the little one peeing?
The little one is in her diaper. Although, she's
I would
old.
Not
she
know.
No joke.
I would poop my pants before the little one. If I had to, like, I don't know where to begin with kids. And Luke and these guys, oh, you're great with kids. I'm like, it's
you
because
it
if I had to teach them the value of cursive writing
or
the value of conjugating a verb when you have AI that will do it for you, I don't know. I'm an old man.
Yeah, the way information comes to you, it's just things are so different. So I don't know what that's going to look like with school, with our kids. But
well, I hope your kid loves baseball because it's important.
He loves numbers, which is it's exciting.
Well, I'm going to give them a number. 410-367-7777. The Comfort Guys. Zach Dermer's my pal. He is. His family sponsors us. If you need HVAC, AC, plumbing, please do it because they get a new house in Westminster, and I'm trying to build a new wing, and they're trying to get me to a second Rush concert this week. So we're all in this together here at Costas and getting everybody here at Timonium. I was in Dundalk the other day for my my mom's. It's a big week around here. My wedding anniversary was last Saturday, 23 years. My mom's birthday was the 26th, and Brandy's birthday. Hi, Brandy. She watches our cat, my rugby companion. And so my mom's birthday was Sunday, so we celebrated that. Now my maternal mother who birthed me, her birthday is Monday, which is August 3rd. And August 3rd is my cat's ninth birthday, Nala, but it's also the 28th anniversary of WNST. So
my parents are August 4th anniversary. So.
Nice. How many years is that? Long enough to have you.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
And other ones like you.
Yep, exactly.
How many brothers and sisters you got?
I have two sisters, one older and one younger. So.
Do they do HVAC or no?
They do not. They should. But
how did you get stuck doing this?
I always knew I was going to be doing it.
You got a crab cake out of the day.
Exactly. Yeah, but my dad always, I was at the office at an early age, just interested in it.
So when you were 10 years old, you like crawling in holes looking for?
Yeah, I mean, mostly I was at the office looking at tools. Stuff like that. My grandfather, Frank, you met him. We'll get him one sometime.
Was he hands-on?
Oh, very much so. And he'll take you to a customer's house. And just
we were so lucky when I was a kid with our HVAC. Mr. Voles, Jim Voles, who actually bought my Venezuelan father's house on Bank Street. He moved into the neighborhood, and he had a blue Sears truck.
Okay.
And he was the guy. He was the refrigerator. He was their repairman.
Yeah.
You know, Maytag, whatever their thing was, right? And he was down the street, and Mr. Voles, I love you, and Pat, his wife, and their kids. Whenever we had an issue, Mr. V would come up, and we bought the plan, and he would come up, but he would moonlight, and I get off around. He was a very studious man. He spoke impeccably. I think their family was from Michigan, so he had a different accent that I always thought was elegant. You know, he didn't talk like we did, Dan Dundalk. I'll be over tomorrow to fix that AC.
Yep.
You know, he didn't have that.
Yeah.
He was we'll be there.
Very proper.
Very proper.
Yep.
And his son, Jim, is very proper as
okay.
well. So, so Mr. V would come by and take care of us. So
yeah.
We were lucky to have, like, I didn't need you or need to know a guy like
yeah.
you, but everybody needs a guy like you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Everybody, you need somebody you can count on. That's where we come in. And one thing before we shut off the air, a lot of people, so this time of year, we're about to approach August. Obviously, August is hot. Typically.
I hope not.
It's been mild.
For Luke, I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not. Yeah, he'll be sweating his tail off. But
well, you did get in a chirp breeze nice your game out there.
Yeah.
He can wear that.
Absolutely. But no, I mean, this time of year, a lot of people, their air conditioner is giving them issues and they're thinking about replacing their system, they may take them and be like, hey, I'll worry about this next year. I understand, obviously, the mindset is that it makes sense, you're saving money till next year, but that system that you put off now in August.
It's fritzy.
Well, yes, but next April, it's only going to cost you more. There's local utility incentives that are available now. They may not be next spring. So by saving a couple bucks now, you maybe.
All right, be square with me right now. My system's a dozen years old. It's not. Mine's 5 years old, but let's say it's 12 to 15 years old.
Sure.
And I've had you out, and I've done the thing, and I see the dust, and I know how long it's been. And it's, what's it, $8,000, $6,000, $10,000? What am I looking at just in a general?
Eight to 14.
Maybe. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's a third of a car. All right. It's eight or ten. It is what it is, right? Whatever you're at, 8, 10, 12, 14, whatever the number is, right? How much money it's going to save you every month, $25, $50, because you're going to get a new system right off the bat because it's going to be more efficient. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm not doing the sales thing here. I'm literally doing the, all right.
The math, it does.
My issue's half broke and you're coming out. Now, the repair is going to cost me $1,100, $1,400, whatever it is.
Sure.
Something's broken. I'm sweating my nuts off. And I trust you. I love you. Sean's over. You're being legitimate. Like, dude, the part's $650. The labor's another $8. It's going to take us 4 hours. Whatever the numbers are, right? You look at it and you're like, all right. So the $1,400, how long am I going to look Sean or you and say, like, am I good for a couple, 3-5 years here maybe?
Yeah,
and really you'd say, well, you've had a system 8 to 10 years maybe, 16, 18 years, you know, you're way into this. Like, but you're going to say to them, we'll repair it, and you're going to have AC in 2 hours.
Yep.
It's going to be 1,200, 14, 16, whatever it is. 750, whatever it's going to be, right? Light, heavy, whatever it is.
There's always options.
There's a tube, there's a thing, whatever. I'm 57. I've had a few of you in my basement.
Yep.
I've had you in my basement recently. I'm going to let you tell that story because it happened on April Fool's Day, but it wasn't nearly as funny as my lock and forth thing was. Certainly not for my wife. I mean, I was in Minnesota. I wasn't flat. I was freezing my ass off, but I saw Springsteen. So when you come out, that's a moment of truth for every customer's been there with whatever that device is, whether it was the old television, the refrigerator, the whatever. Repairman Schneider's at the door. Your dad gets that. I know you never watch One Day at a Time. By the way, my boy John Allen opened it for Mammoth, son of Valerie Bertinelli this week up in Pennsylvania. So get on that, Johnny A. Opening for Eddie Van Halen's kid. That's Valerie Bertinelli's son. Valerie Bertinelli was the one that called Schneider when stuff broke in the house.
Okay.
You got it?
Yep, got it.
I'll sing the One Day at a Time song for you a little later on. Anyway, these kids.
Yeah.
I can't even drop proper. You know, Tim Kirchner said to me the other day, the only thing he knows is baseball and 1960s sitcoms.
Yeah.
Literally. So I'm trying to work. One Day at a Time, the late 70s, early 80s. If I start giving Good Times to you, Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days.
That's way before my time.
I had a kid that went to
That's
college.
Why you didn't talk to my dad.
I met a kid that went to college in Boulder, Colorado, and didn't know that Mork and Mindy, that there's a house there. He said to me, what is Mork?
Yeah.
You know what Mork is?
I do not.
What did the old man teach you? HVAC.
How to plunge a toilet, you know, when I was 4 years old.
Teach me when we get done. But we are, it's a moment of truth for every person that they've got a guy that looks like Schneider. He's up to his balls in this and that and tools and something's broken and you're sweating and your wife's home. So you got a 6-year-old, a 2-year-old, a little one. Grandpop's golfing and we can't find Jay. Nobody can babysit. Everybody's sweating. And it's like she gets on the phone and calls you at the office. Let's pretend you're not HVAC. And says,
we just had with our
dude, this is either $10,600 for the new system or this is going to be $1,450 right now. What do I do? No one ever knows.
No, it's really hard to know the right answer, but you know, more often than not, I mean, obviously it's easy for me to say.
Well, upsell me into the new unit because they're like, percentage off, they're going to save some money every month on your, like, you probably have treatment for all that and saying, this thing's costing you $380 a month at PG. I'm telling you, if you put the system, it's going to go to $310. Like, you're going to get
even more, really?
Yeah,
I mean, depending on how old the system is, obviously if you have a 10-year-old system and you replace it, it's not a crazy difference.
Okay.
A lot of people have a 25-year-old system. It's going to be a significant cost savings. That, warranties for, you know, you replace the system and you're locked in with the warranty. So you don't have to worry about a repair for the next 10 years. if you're repairing that system every single year, spending.
Warranty means once a year you come out and give me a checkup from the neck up.
Well, yeah, I mean that's maintenance, which kind of plays with the warranty, but warranty meaning the unit stops working. Things happen. You call us, we come out, it doesn't cost anything. As opposed to spending.
And no offense to Mr. Voles, who I loved, but this is better than the Sears plan was.
Yeah, I would say.
Well, my dad would always get that one with the. Are you old enough to remember carbon paper?
All right.
I'm making sure. Because we always had a carbon paper, a little Sears thing at the top. And you had didn't even have 800 numbers. You had to go out the golden ring. It ain't no golden ring no more.
Yeah.
You heard my East Point stuff this week. Oh, man, my East Point stuff this week. Just.
It's
tough when they shut down your mall.
Memories.
You'll never have them all, you young guys. Zach Dermer's here. He is one of the comfort guys. Saved my derriere, really my wife's feet, and really her
equipment.
It really happened, like, by her closet. Right. I was really concerned about, like, her ish.
Yeah.
My stuff, too. Yeah. But I hang my Robert Clam shirts up like Jay, you know, so I do that. But we had a flood, and my wife, like, a thing happened.
Yeah.
And it was 6 in the morning. I'm in Minnesota. It was cold out. It was April Fool's Day. Yeah. It was no joke. And your guy was there by, like, 7:30. She turned the water off. That's another thing. Learn where your water is, man. Learn.
It's going to save you.
I'm no Schneider, but I learned how to turn the water off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you do plumbing, too. But I guess my point is, like, people call you. They don't do what the hell we tell them to do, which is call now, set up a little appointment, make sure it's fine, make sure you have all the Prestone you need. I know you don't put Prestone, but make sure you have all the stuff you need to put in there, right? I don't know what I'm doing.
No, and most people don't. I mean,
anybody's ever listened to me, he knows I don't know what I'm doing. I have to trust you.
Yeah, well, that's where we come in and we take care of it. I mean, that's
right.
Most people don't think about stuff until it craps out. And that's what we're there.
How many people out there like air conditioning and need it? Show of hand, right? I mean, 410-367-7777. We didn't talk Ravens, man. Thanks for sponsorship.
Absolutely.
I got Pat Dyer here. He's running for Baltimore County Executive. Big stuff on the Republican side. For all you Republicans out there, this will be for you. And I'll have some tough pointed questions about running the county and I really do want to know where all the Ravens' money's going for. Why we're funding a billionaire in the county and the city and the state.
Yeah, it'd be nice to know.
Yeah.
Hopefully some answers to come. So looking forward to
I were really a member of the media, I'd probably be allowed to ask. But all of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I do love the Ravens. And are you a Kissberg face guy? You don't like that one?
It's all right, man.
You didn't grow up on Kiss.
No.
The fifth member of Kiss right there, the Ravensburg. I have the Raven scratch-offs to give away. We had a lucky batch thus far. We're going to be at Coco's on the 26th of August. I'm working out a date with State Fair. Evan and Keith are on vacation next week. I want to do a breakfast show over in Catonsville. Also want to do an afternoon show at Fishmonger's Daughter, which everybody's enjoying. Get such great reports from over in Catonsville on that as well. We're here at Costas in Timonium, not to be confused with Costas in Dundalk, where they have steamed crabs. Here, they just have delicious fried crab cakes. I didn't say that. GBMC sponsors. I swear it was broiled. There's no evidence here at the OTB that I had a fried crab cake. I did mix in a salad, though, didn't I?
Yeah, you got to get your greens.
I didn't even have a creamy salad. I didn't go buttermilk dressing. I went straight, like, Greek dressing.
Good. It's all about balance. So.
I took some of the feta cheese off.
Yep. Making mindful decisions, so.
These Greek people out here, they feed me, man. Yep. They give me that let your booty grow. They get, oh, my God, you know? You met Pete.
Yeah, good guy.
Nick wants to feed me more. Yeah. So a tradition continued. I want to give Costas family a little love. I went over for my mom's birthday for crabs. Don't get me crying at the bar because I just want to say this out loud. Because Mr. Costas is looking, he's staring at me over here. If they open the shade, he's big as life over on the wall over here. And he passed away a year and a half ago. And this is his vision, his dream. So on my mom's birthday, and I have 100 pictures of my mom at Costas with fried crab cakes, which is why she's probably not alive anymore. But she was 98 when she died. I had a picture with two crab cakes in front of her because one wasn't enough.
Love yourself.
And two Buds.
Good.
She didn't want Bud Light. She went straight Bud that day.
You gotta do
Corona on special occasions. That was Mother's Day with a lime. But I went over Costas, and my wife and I ordered 6 crabs, the big ones, because it was a birthday, right? So I got the big crabs. My wife, she gets one crab in, and the New Hampshire comes out. You know this is gross, right?
I'd rather a cake.
Like, you ain't from around here, hon. So she did 2, I did 4. We had some food. We had a corn on the cob. She ordered a beer. I ordered a beer. And I was driving, because that's, she drives over, I drive back, so we do things. And so she can drink, and I'm good, because I don't drink much. But I look up, and Matt's got two fresh beers in front of me. On the house, compliments of Mr. Costas, because he always gave us beer we didn't want. That's part of the tradition of going to Dum Dum. He would ask me, what you drink? And he knew what I would drink, because he was in front of me. And he would bring me one when I said, no, I'm driving. He'd come by, he'd wink at me, he'd tap the beer, and he would just slide it to me, like the Baltimore County police wouldn't see if I got pulled over. So the tradition continued on Sunday at the bar. So we were there. I took a sip of the second beer to honor him. It was colder than the backwash I had left, and I had schmutz all over my hands, you know. Costas in, go down there for the crabs and Dundalk. You don't eat crabs?
I mean, I do sometimes. You know.
What is the Baltimore thing to say anytime you get crabs? People say, how were they? Yeah. How were the crabs?
Heavy.
Of course they were heavy. They were Costas. Yeah. What am I say? They were delicious. And the first time I had crabs all year. Yeah. So my bougie hands. I should make the excuse. I'm trying to learn how to play the guitar, but I'm not. I wish I were. I'm trying to learn how to play my AI. My clone's hands need. All right, we're going to talk politics and Baltimore County and Republican, Democrat, and East Side, West Side, and I don't know. Pat Dyer's here. He's running for Baltimore County Executive. Also, Luke Jones and Alan McCallum are here. They're running for a better baseball team, and we will be here to talk some baseball. Alan lost his mom last week, so much love to Alan. Whatever you do, keep the cheese away from Alan. He doesn't like cheese. He's weird. I am Nestor. He is Zach. They are the Comfort Guys, 410-367-7777. Find them at Farnan and Dermer and the Comfort Guys. GBMC for putting me out on the road. I really didn't eat a fried crab cake today, but I did. Mixed in a salad, and we're going to come back with more. Number 32 for you, and your dad is going to get, you know what, I'll give him 30. Eddie Murray, 33 for him.
Next and
you
time know, he'll come on.
You know what I'm going to do here for Pat Dyer? I'm going to see how much he really, what kind of real Baltimore guy he really is. I'm going to give him number 34 for Wild Bill Hayden. Is that good?
Cool, yeah.
Or for Storm Davis, who just went into the Oriole Hall of Fame. Back from, oh, he, no, he was in. Chris, no, Storm Davis went in this week, right?
Yeah,
it was Storm
Davis
and Chris.
I think a third.
All the Davises went in, right? No Tommy Davis?
I don't think so.
Any other Davises? I'm trying to think of Oriole Davises. Oh, Eric Davis.
Yeah.
Any other Davises? Tommy Davis was the first designated hitter in Oriole history in 1973. His first year I was a baseball fan.
Okay. Way back.
Kids born in 1991. We were born in 1991, celebrating our 35th year on the air. It is our 28th anniversary on Monday, and I'm taking the day off to spend the day with Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. I feel like Ferris Bueller. Back for more. It's Baltimore Positive.